The third song of hell. One goes through me into the grieving city. One goes through me to grief that is endless. One goes through me among helpless humanity. What moved my high maker was justice. I am the work of divine power, ultimate wisdom and love's genesis. Before me there was nothing of the Creator not unending, and I, unending, endlessly endure. Leave your hope, you who enter. These words, what color they were, was obscure, were written across a gateway's overhead, so that I, teacher, what's it mean? They're hard, I'm not sure. Then he to me, like someone alerted, this is where you must leave every doubt. You must leave common feeling here for dead. We've reached the place I told you about, where you'd see the people who moan because their sanity of soul went out. And after he placed his hand on my own, with a cheerful face that made my confidence rise, he put me inside the unknown. And here sighing sobs and loud cries went echoing through the air no star is in, so that there at the outset there were tears in my eyes. Converging languages, ghastly conversation, words of great pain, deep anger, sound. Voices loud and soft with noisy hands joined in. We're creating the uproar that spins around forever in the stained air in which no time remains, like sand when the whirlwind breathes on the ground. And I, my head tight in horror's chain, said, teacher, what is this I hear? Who are they who seem like prisoners that grief detains? He to me, behold the wretched career that these pathetic souls in life acquired, who lived never blamed, never cheered. Mixed in with them is that rotten choir of the angels, not rebel, not faithful to God, who into themselves retired. Heaven chased them out to keep its beauty level, but the depths of hell were unreceptive. No longer least glorious, the damned might revel. And I, teacher, what is so oppressive it makes them express such extreme lamentation? He replied, I won't be talkative. They have no hope of termination, and their blind life is so low they envy every other situation. The world lets no sign of them show. To mercy and justice, they're human rags. We won't discuss them. Observe and go. And as I was observing, I saw a flag running in a circle at a speed so crazed it clearly detested any rest, any pause, any lag. Behind it came so long a parade of people, I would have been reluctant to believe just how many that death has unmade. I had recognized a few, I was confident, when I saw and identified the ghost of he who made out of gutlessness the great I can't. Instantly I knew with certainty that this was that nasty tribe repulsive to God and God's enemies. These desecrations who never were alive were being stung, they were naked, by the wasps who were there, and the bite flies digging canals down their faces that bled mixed with tears to their feet, which is where, working their puddles, revolting worms fed. when I'd refocused elsewhere, I saw people at a great river's rim, so that I, "Teacher, could you spare me the knowledge of who these are? What system has them so eager to cross and go on? At least as I see it, the light's very dim." And he, "Let the answer to your question dawn when we stop our steps beside the sad banks of the Acheron." Shame filled my eyes. Down my gaze crept. Afraid I'd said something injurious, what I had to say until the river kept. "Look! Rowing right at us, an ancient, his white hair a very old man's, yelling, 'Woe to you, souls of the impious! Don't hope you'll ever again see the heavens. I come to run you to the other side, into the unending darkness, hot or frozen. You there, hey, the one who's alive, away from the dead one, separate.' But when he saw that I hadn't complied, he said, 'By different travel, different gates, not here, you'll reach your final passage's dock. For you a far lighter vessel awaits.' The leader to him, 'Charon, get over your shock. This is the will of where what can be caused is whatever is willed. No more talk.' At that they were quiet. The woolly jaws of the ferryman at the bruised dark marsh's edge, with the eyes encircled by flaming wheels. But those souls, limp and naked, changed color, and their teeth began to clatter the instant they got the brutal message. They're spitting curses at God, Mother, Father, and human race, at the time, place, and seed of their insemination, at their own birth's hour. Then they pull themselves into a mass and proceed, sobbing, down to evil's riverbank, where a place for all who don't fear God is guaranteed. The demon Charon, signaling their ranks with his eyes of embers, gathers in them all. Anyone relaxing, Charon's oar spanks. Like leaves who lift away in the fall, one after the other, until the branch can see all over the ground its entire hall. The bad seed of Adam, similarly, one by one from the shore hurl themselves, when nodded to, like hawks to their falconer's puppetry. And they're gone, over the dark shining swells, to the opposite bank. But before they are there, already at this one, a new crowd assembles. 'My dear son,' said the noble teacher, 'people who die in God's anger, whatever their country, all converge here. They're eager to cross the river. Divine justice spurs them. They can't stay. What they feared turns into their desire. No good soul ever passes this way. And so, if you make Charon fret, now you know the tune you heard him play.' The black landscape, when he'd said that, shook tremendously. Just the memory of my recoil is washing me again in my own sweat. Wind coming out of the tear-sopped soil bursts into a bolt of red light that smashes each of my senses null, and I drop like the man sleep snatches.